need that the nation of Israel had as they were going into the promised land that God had promised to give to them, as he talked about giving to Isaac and the nation of Israel as they would go in there. And some gave good inputs as to what they thought it was. But the one thing that I believe, and I shared with you the last time, was the thing that they had the greatest need of was the word of God. Amen. You think about it. Here it is, 2 million people that are going into a land that God had prepared and planned for them, that he had promised to their forefathers. They were going to a place that they didn't do anything that they deserved the opportunity to go, but because of God's goodness and because of God's grace and because of God's mercy, that he was sending them in there. But God wanted to make a point to them as they go into this land, which they didn't have to dig, they didn't have to build, they didn't have to do anything. It was going to be there for them. But he wanted to remind them of the importance of the word of God, because prosperity has its way of defeating even the greatest of Christians when it comes to the things of God. It is so easy for us to get caught up into the plenitude of the blessings of God that we forget God. And he wanted them to understand it wasn't the things that you were going to have that were going to benefit you. It's the word of God that you need that is going to benefit you, because there are going to be some things that you're going to face in your life that you need, that these things that I'm going to give you, that I'm already blessing you with, that you don't deserve to have. I'm going to give those to you, and that's going to be a plus. But the thing that you need the most is the word of God. We need the word of God today, people. Amen. If it's going to make a difference in anybody's life, it has to make a difference in your life, first of all, before you can ever give it to your children. Amen. And if we want to be a blessing to our children today, we need to make the word of God a precedence in our lives so that we can share that with them. I don't know. I've been walling with this. I've slept sleepless nights. I've been thinking about all these things as to how I would even begin this message and talk to you about it again tonight. Amen. But as we think about what God is commanding Moses to do, he said, I want you to teach them the commandments so that they would keep them.
Yes.
Because that was what they needed.
That's right. That's right.
And if you're going to teach somebody something, as I said before, you're going to take them back to bring them into remembrance of what God had brought them from, what God had did for them. And now if he did all of those things for him, there's something that he wanted you to do for him that was going to benefit you. And that was to remember that you need the word of God as you go in to do this and into this land. I thought about it many ways of how I would think about how important it is to share God's word with your children.
Wow. That's good, Pastor White. That's good.
How important it is. I tell you something that happened to me. Is Rose still in here? Rose is still in here. I had the wonderful opportunity last week or the week before. Rose invited me to come over and talk to her grandson, her grandsons. And I hadn't thought about saying this, and Serge, I hope I stay on track. But as I went over to visit with them, to share with Jaden the importance of baptism, we got the Bible out.
Amen.
And I opened the Word of God, and I sit there, and I looked at these two little bright-eyed boys. And we opened the Word of God, and we sit there, and I took them through the Bible. I took them through the Scripture, Surgeon, and watched them with the excitement of wanting to hear the Word of God.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
And that just thrilled my soul.
Yeah.
I was more blessed from them when I got there than they would ever been from what I gave them, because I shared with them God's word.
Amen.
And I tell you what, I was excited.
Yes, sir.
Because they were excited.
Mm-hmm.
But how many of you have ever taken and made the word of God a priority?
That's good.
That you sit with your children and you share with them something from the word of God.
Amen. That's right, Pastor. That's right. That's good.
Just think about it for a minute.
Good, Pastor White.
Just think about it.
Oh, yeah.
What that would do to them. You know, Teresa was telling me tonight that Tanya took the little kids that are the little 2 and 3 year olds to this morning, and she went back to the area where she was teaching them. And as she went back there, the little kids were so excited. They didn't want the moms and the dads to come get them, because they were excited, because they remember going to that little area back there. And they hadn't been there in a while, but they were looking forward to going back there and sitting and being around their teacher, taking the word of God, showing them some truths from it. They were excited about it. But how many of us, as parents, are excited enough to take the Bible and sit down with our children and share God's word with them?
Mm-hmm. You're right, Pastor.
See, that's what God wanted them to do.
Yep.
It wasn't just for them. They needed it as adults, but he wanted them to teach the children so that they could teach their children. Because there has come a time in our society today, I'm going to get to the message here, just hold on. There has come a time in our society today where we don't value the word of God because we don't appreciate the word of God. We've gotten so comfortable with things that we don't realize how much we need the word of God.
That's right, Pastor White.
And I'm afraid that we can see tonight what happens when the word of God doesn't have the precedence in our lives that it ought to have. It's a tragedy. I think about tonight, just even Joshua. Mm-hmm. When God told Joshua to rise up and go, Moses is dead, my servant is dead. Mm-hmm. And he was going to go and lead the nation of Israel. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, Amen. That thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Right. But then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Right. Now, Joshua valued the word of God, but it's a tragedy because you go to Judges, two chapters after Joshua was dead, there was a generation that rose up that knew not God because they didn't put God first. They didn't know nothing about the word of God, and it was just right after Joshua, and all those that lived with Joshua died off. The nation or the generation that followed them had no idea about the things of God and the word of God. They had no idea. And we're living in a society today that has no value, has no desire, has no concern for the things of God.
Amen.
And we are that generation that he's talking about, that thy sons can teach thy sons' sons.
Yes, sir.
And we are that generation today that the children are raised up and have no idea where church is, have no idea who God is, has no desire to serve God, don't want to put God first, and we're living it out because we did not value, or our parents didn't value, the importance of the word of God.
Amen.
But let me say this to you parents tonight, and even to myself. Mm-hmm. We got to start somewhere.
Well, yes, we do, Pastor White. We do.
You got to start somewhere. And maybe you didn't grow up in a Christian home. Maybe you haven't been in the word of God like you ought to. And if you haven't, you need to take the time and sit down with your children and share the word of God. Because when my girls call me and there are things going on in their life, the only thing that I can tell them is going to be any value to them is things that I've learned from the word of God. And if you're going to help your children, you need to teach them the word of God. It's not my responsibility, as much as I love it. It's not pastor's responsibility. I only get your children, the teenagers, about 40 minutes every Sunday morning. I can't teach them the things that you can teach them. When he says, when I rise up, when I sit down, when I walk is by the way, you ought to make it a priority to teach your children. Because they will value what you show them from the word of God more than they will just me.
Amen.
Or just pastor.
Amen.
Now that's just tipping of the iceberg.
Amen. Amen.
I had to get that off my chest.
Amen.
Hopefully this rest of it will make sense to you.
Amen.
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 I want us to think about it tonight. He had commanded them in verse number 1. He says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded you to teach you that ye might do them in the land where you go is to possess. In other words, God is commanding us. It's not say if you do or that you ought to do. God is commanding you that we ought to go and do that. So the commandment was given to them as to what they needed to do. So we see the command, but I believe tonight that we need to see the compensation that comes with what he's telling them of the importance of teaching and preaching the word of God. It may not stay. Let's just put it down here. So there's some compensation that goes along with it. But I want you to notice two words that I believe that is so present here that if they were going to do anything, if anything was going to happen, there's two words that stand out to me. Look at verse number 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord. Look at verse 3, that you might hear therefore. So in other words, one of the benefits that needed to happen was that you need to fear God, but you also need to hear God.
Yes, sir.
So if you fear God, the way that that verse is talking about there, you will hear God. But if you don't fear God, you won't hear God. And we live in a society today that does not fear God and has the idea that we have no reference, we have no respect to God, we have no reference and respect to God's word, we have no reference and respect to God's house. And we certainly don't fear him. And the idea here has the idea to hear, to listen with the idea of obeying, to hear, to perceive by ear, to hear with attention or interest. To listen. And I thought about that. We need to fear God. And the word there has the idea of fearing him in such a way that we respect him. Our society does not respect God. They don't respect the Christians today. But if we're going to say, as we said last time, if they were going to go, these 2 million people were going to go work together, walk together, worship together, and war together, they needed to have respect to God. And one of the things that we have today that does not happen, even in Christians that are here that we're looking at, we don't respect God and we don't fear God. There's no fear for God these days by Christians. There's no fear for God by the lost people because we don't fear God. But the compensation here that he wants them to see, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep his commandments. There ought to be a fear from us as Christians to keep his commandments. The fear here is to fear him. In other words, if we fear God, the compensation is that if we fear him, we're going to live it. We're going to not only hear the word of God, but we're going to live it in such a way. Live it so that people around us and our children will respect us because they see that God has a presence in your life.
That's right.
And if they see that, then they might have a love for God the way that we ought to. And learn from you. Our kids value more of what they see us do, more so than what they hear us say that we do. Does that make sense? Because sometimes your actions speak louder than your words. And we become hypocritical because we say that we love God, but we really don't show them that we love God. And we don't fear him by showing him reverence and respect the way that we ought to because we don't value him. We don't value his word. And our children are going to be the ones that suffer from it. So we need to fear it. And notice not only do we need to fear it, but the future is relied upon it. The future depends on it. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep his commandments. To keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life. And that thy days may be prolonged. So the future depends on it, but the fruit of it depends on it as well. This teaching would profit them more than any other teaching. It was fivefold teaching here that God wanted them to understand. The compensation was that, first of all, that they might fear God. The teaching of law of God's law, his word promises that we should honor God and reverence God. The greatest deficiency in our land today is there's no reverence for God and is the direct result of our churches today are filled with people that come to church, but they don't want to be taught anything from the word of God. And even the preachers ain't teaching the word of God the way that they ought to. And it's not making an impact in the Christian's life. And if it's not making an impact in your life, it's not going to make an impact in your children's lives. So the word of God needs to be taught. We need to be instructed from it. I think about it this way. Here God wanted them to brought them out of bondage and out of slavery. He was putting them into a land that he wanted when they go in there that people would recognize that you are my children. You are my child. I want you to be different. And the thing that I want you to value the most is my word. Because that's what's going to change you. That's what's going to make you different. You ought not go in there and the people of the land that you're going in, their gods ought not to be the presidents in your life. I ought to be the presidents
in
your life.
That's right. That's good.
But prosperity has its way of ruining the best of Christians. It's amazing how when things are going well, we are okay. I believe one of the greatest fears that Christians have in their lives is when prosperity comes, we do forget God. And he has to bring us back to trials in our lives. He had to bring us back to struggles that we would come back to him. Because if he didn't, most of us would get pious and think that we don't need God. Mm. So I don't need God to do anything for me.
That's right.
Because I already have everything I need. You know what? You didn't even have it unless he gave it to you.
That's right, Pastor White.
The nation of Israel, everything that they brought out of the land of Egypt, they got it because of God's grace and mercy that he burdened those that he was taking them from slavery from to give them what they had before he brought them out.
Amen.
They had nothing of their own to claim. So it was fivefold. When we think about the compensation was that they wanted to reverence God. The piety here was that they were in this compensation. But the prolongedness of this was that their days would be prolonged. When we honor God and obey his word, then his lifestyle of the Christian is one that will promote a long life that one would never have in this wicked world that we live in apart from God. I think about Proverbs. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth.
That's good.
But thou shalt meditate. I'm reading the wrong one, Ann. I'm reading the Psalms. I like that one too.
Amen.
But Proverbs 3 and verse 1, it says, this, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandment. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thy heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. God wants us to have longevity in life, and the blessings of longevity come because we put God first.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
That's where the success comes in. And most lives are ruined because we don't put God first. I was just talking to our young people today, this morning, as we start a new series of study about their destiny. You know, the average child, as I was telling them, when you're about 13 or 14 years old, they think they know everything. And they want to be adults when they're not ready to be adults. And they run around like a dog chasing his tail till they get about 30 years old trying to figure out in life what it is that they ought to have. And you know what? It would make it so much easier and different for them if they would value the word of God. And the Bible says to remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. It would save you a whole lot of heartaches and pain if they would value finding out what God's will is for their life instead of trying to figure it out on their own.
Amen.
And then let me get on those little the shingles back there. Because here's the 12, 13, 14, and 18-year-olds. They looking to try to figure it out. And then we got those that are over 30 looking back trying to figure out what did I go wrong back here. And they ain't figured it out yet either.
Lord, help us, Pastor.
Am I right?
Yeah, you're right, Pastor White. You are right.
So here we go.
You are correct.
And you spend half of your lifetime. You know why I know? Been there, done that. Got the scars from it.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Because that's what we do.
Preach it like it is, Pastor.
Because again, we don't trust in the Lord.
That's right.
With all in our heart. You know, God's word has a place. As Proverbs is writing, it has a promise. And if it's in the right place, it'll fulfill the promises that God has promised in his word.
That's right, Pastor.
But we don't understand it and we don't benefit from it because we don't let it have its right place. Because it's not in our hearts. Because if it's in our hearts, it's going to help us make the right choices, make the right decision. It's going to help the young people do the same thing. But they spend their whole teenage lives trying to figure out and think that they're ready for adulthood and they're not even ready.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
But he says, remember thy creator. And the reason why he wanted them to remember their creator is because you remember him, he'll tell you what he wants you to have. Because he's the one that created you. And we adults, we just old kids. Still sometimes trying to figure it out.
Oh yeah.
And he's talking to us the same way.
Amen there, Pastor White. Amen.
Because we ain't figured it out either.
That's right, Pastor.
Because we don't value God's word.
Amen.
Been there, done that.
Amen.
I got the scars from it. But I can tell you this. I've understood it this much to know that I need God.
Yes, sir, we do.
I need his word.
Amen.
I need his word. You need his word. And the promises are there. I'm getting on these soapboxes. I don't know if I'm going to get far here. But so the prolongation is there in this compensation. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Because his word has a place. It has a purpose and it has a promise. Then he goes on to tell them and shows them the prosperity, because there's compensation in here. He says that thy sons and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, and that they may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily in the land, increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in a land that floweth with milk and honey. So prosperity is there, that it may be well with you. And it's speaking about the general prosperity of life. But it's also talking about the population of this compensation, that you might increase mightily. Israel's population would increase greatly if they would heed to the commandments of God. That was God's promise. That's the compensation that comes with it when you actually think about what God is talking about. Amen. So we see the compensation, so that we ought to learn of it and learn some things from it. But I believe the chief truth about this teaching was that he wanted them to have was that they will have is that they would love it. Yeah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, our God, is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 is what he's saying here, that we would love God. That's right. And that was the first and the greatest commandment that God gave us in Matthew 22 and verse 37 and 38. Right. Jesus said unto them that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And this is the first and the greatest of all the commandments. The most important thing about this curriculum of that he's talking about teaching is that we would love God. Because he first loved us.
That's right, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. And if we would love him with all of our heart, that's all right. Of our being. I don't know about you, but it's like the illustration that Pastor gave this morning.
Yes, sir.
If you love God, he said, even God says, if you love me, do what?
Keep my commandments.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
That's right.
One of the greatest hypocritical things that I believe a lot of our kids see is we say one thing, and then we do something else. We say we love God, but there's no example of our love for God. If you're here tonight and you've been saved, how do you show God that you love him? It's hard to get people to come back on Sunday. I guess because that old loudmouth from North Carolina preaching tonight. Maybe that's why they didn't come back.
Yeah, maybe.
Sunday morning, you can't find them. Sunday night, you can't find them. Wednesday night, you can't find them. Wow. I don't know about you, but I'm like, Pastor, when I got saved, I just fell in love with Jesus.
Amen.
I just wanted to be around God's people.
Praise the Lord,
Pastor. I had enough of the world, and I love God so much that I want to be there three to thrive. That means Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you're going to grow as a Christian, if you love God, you ought to be in his house.
Amen.
You ought to be around God's people. You want to be encouraged from the word of God by the preaching and the teaching of the word of God, because if he thought it was important to them, I believe it's important to you and I.
Amen. Amen, Pastor White.
He didn't just say it to be saying it. He said it because it needed to be said.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Let me say this before I forget.
Amen.
You ever had somebody tell you something that was going to happen and it happened?
Oh, yeah.
That's what God's saying.
Yes, sir, Pastor White. Yes, sir.
He's telling you right here.
Yes, sir, he is.
That's what he's saying. And you know what? It's true. Because there was a generation after Joshua that knew not God because the forefathers didn't teach them about the importance of the word of God.
That's right, Pastor White. That's right.
And your children, my children, are going to grow up in a godless society.
That's good.
And the kids always get me.
Yep.
How they want to blame mom and dad. Let me say this. When you get old enough, as the pastor said yesterday, take a deep breath. Exhale. You are alive.
Yes, sir.
You make choices.
That's right, Pastor White. That's right. That's good.
Can't blame mom.
Pastor White.
Can't blame dad.
That's right, Pastor.
Somewhere the bucks need to stop.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And needs to start with you.
Amen, Pastor White.
Don't go. You know, it just bothers me how my dad didn't do this. You know what? My dad didn't go to the house of God. My dad didn't teach me the word of God. He taught me what he knew.
Yes, sir.
But he didn't teach me the word of God.
That's
But I made a choice when I was confronted with, well, if I were to die today, you know for sure you're going to go to heaven. No, I did not know. So the preacher took the Bible and the Word of God and showed me how I could be saved.
Yes.
And I made a choice that day because I didn't want to go to a godless hell and suffer and live there forever. But I wanted to go to heaven. And the only way that you can get there is through Jesus Christ. And I made a choice. I didn't blame my dad because he didn't tell me. I didn't blame my Sunday school teacher because he didn't tell me. I didn't blame that old preacher that didn't know any better because he didn't tell me. But God told me that I was on my way to hell. I need to be saved. That's what changed my life. And it was the Word of God. And I tell you, ain't no greater thrill as a Christian is to take the Word of God and show somebody else how they can be saved. And you see the Spirit of God come upon that person, change that life, and they make a decision to trust Christ as Savior, and they grow.
Amen.
They get baptized, and they grow. They attend the house of God. And they don't make no more excuses because my dad was a drunk. My dad was this, and my mom didn't do that. Get right with God because that's the most important thing. And the Word of God affords you the same opportunity
Amen.
That affords me.
That's right, Pastor.
Because he said it's important that thou forget not the Lord thy God. That thou love him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So the compensation here is the most important of one of these truths. But the chief truth here was that you love it. And you love him because he loves you. And they wanted them to understand, you know, God is one God. It ain't all these gods that deals those that were there in the land where you're going. It's not all these gods that they're serving. He is one God. He's one Lord. So understand what the unity of God is, but understand the uniqueness of God, because there's only one God and we need to cherish God. And that was what they needed to hear. So I want to tell you three things, and I already said two, that we need to learn it. We need to live it. We need to learn it.
Yes, sir.
And then if we live it, and we learn it and we live it, we'll lip it.
Yep. That's good, Pastor. Come on, Pastor White.
How are we going to lip it?
Oh, that's good.
Tell our children about it.
That's good, Pastor White. That's good.
Teach your children.
Good.
Tell them about it. Tell them how good God has been to you. Tell them how good God is. Because that's what he Amen. Wanted them to do. Look at the end of this verse here, or the end of this chapter. Because he didn't want them to do. What are you going to teach them? Teach them the same thing that I'm just telling Moses that he need to teach you.
Amen.
How important it is to love God.
Amen.
And these Ten Commandments that he was reminding them of, it is so easy and simple to teach adult. Well, one of the greatest truths that you can ever do is to teach your children. Hold on there just a minute. I want to read you something. First of all, when we think about the Ten Commandments, that's what he's talking about that they had. They only had the New Testament. They probably had only the five first books of the Bible. But one of the greatest truths that they could ever learn, when he talks about, thou shalt have no other God before me, trust God only. Worship God only. Use God's name the way that honors him. Rest on the Sabbath and think about God. Be in the house of God. So you can rest from your work and weariness of the week. Come into the house of God so that your attention will be on the things of God. And respect and obey your parents, children. Protect and respect human life. And we see the abortion issue coming out. Thou shalt not kill. And they're killing and destroying children, the image of God. Be true to your husband and your wife. Do not take what belongs to others. Do not steal. Do not lie about others. Be satisfied with what you have. You think about it. If they would do those things the way that God wanted to do, because that's what he was telling Moses, to remind them of those Ten Commandments that he had given them. They needed to practice those things, but he wanted them to teach their children.
Amen.
So he wanted them to lip it. Amen.
Amen.
Instruct the children. I want you to turn with me over to Psalms chapter number 78. We won't go back and look at all of these Psalms tonight that we had looked at last time, but the psalmist tell us exactly what we ought to be doing. And it showed us, as we looked at it last time, about how important the Word of God was to them. But when you look at Psalms chapter number 78, this is a great truth that I saw here as I was reading in one of my devotions. The Bible tells us here in Psalm 78, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline thy ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works he hath done.
That's right. Amen.
You know what? That's what the psalmist said that we ought to do for our children. Don't hide it from your children. Tell them about the wondrous things and the wonderful things that God has done. Look at the lateral part. Turn back over to our text here, Deuteronomy chapter number 6, because what was it that God wanted them to do here? He said, and when your children ask about these things, that you can be able to say these things to your children. Let me find my place here. As he's talking about to them, and you shall diligently, verse 17, diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which I have commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the land which the Lord God of thy fathers, to cast out all their enemies from before thee, as the Lord has spoken. And when thy sons ask thee, in times to come, saying, what mean these testimonies and statutes and judgments which the Lord our God have commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and have showed us signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us up out of from thence, that we might bring us in and give us the land which he sweared unto our fathers. I tell you what, you ain't got to tell your children everything you ever did before you got saved.
That's right.
But you ought to tell them what God saved you from.
Amen.
A whole lot of misery.
Oh yeah.
A whole lot of things that I didn't deserve. A whole lot of things that I did that I'm not proud of. But God saved me out of all of that.
Amen.
And your children need to know how important God is. Because he was merciful to me, a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't deserve what he had for me, but he loved me so much that he brought me out of the bondage of sin and saved my wretched soul.
Amen.
And our children need to know that.
That's right, Pastor.
That God loves them the same way. And you as a parent, you want them to love God and understand his word, how much you need it, because I need it, you need it.
Yes, sir, Pastor White.
And if they don't see that you love God, you can rattle it off your lips and they never believe anything you say.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't see that it's real in your life, they'll never have a desire for God the way that they ought to. You know, kids will mimic everything that you say.
That's right, Pastor.
Kids will mimic everything that you do. And one of the things I believe that most of us as Christians don't do enough of is to show our kids how much we really love God.
That's good.
You know, I remember a preacher saying a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
we can get a little sniffle. I think I'll stay home.
Uh-huh. Sacred, Pastor White.
Okay,
sacred.
Well, you know what it shows them? God ain't really important.
That's right. As sacred man, Pastor White.
Oh, I got a headache.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I get up with the sniffles every morning. I get up with the headache and I go to work.
Yeah.
But I don't want to come to the house of God.
There you go, Pastor White. There you go. Preach it.
Whatever Brother Joe got to teach in class, don't worry about it, it's little Sally. It don't make no difference.
Yeah, you're right, Pastor White.
Whatever preacher got to say really don't make any difference. It'll be okay. We just go next week. We go next time. And when they see that he's not a priority in your life, really, what are you saying to them?
That's right, Pastor.
What are you really saying? Because he's really not a priority.
Preach it.
Because you don't even value showing up yourself.
Right.
And you know, I've learned this in life.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is the most important to you, those things you find time to do.
Amen,
whatever is important for you for places to go, you make your way there.
That's right, Pastor White.
And if the house of God is important to you, you'll find time to be in the house of God.
Amen.
And if you value the word of God, you'll find time to be in the word of God.
That's right, Pastor.
Turn off the TV.
Yes, sir.
Get off the iPad.
Amen.
Get off the Facebook.
Facebook, that's right, Pastor.
Get into the word of God.
Amen.
I found that to be just as fulfilling, just as exciting. I tell you what, I say it again. I was thrilled to my bottom, from his head to the top of my head. I got a crown up there with a small spot down to the ball of my feet when I left there talking to Jaden and Jordan about the word
Amen,
of God.
Pastor.
I looked at them little bright eyes and they just popping. And you know what? Jaden said, I didn't know that that's what it means to be born again.
Mm.
I said, yeah. Jesus said, you must be born again.
That's right, Pastor.
He said, I said, you know, you're born of water. He said, you do? I said, yeah. Your mama carried you around for 9 months. The water burst, you were born. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Amen. Praise
Joshua
the Lord.
Said, Jaden said, I didn't know it was like that. I said, yeah, that's what it means.
Praise the Lord, Pastor.
To be born
praise
again.
The Lord. Amen.
I was just as excited because you know what? He learned the truth.
Amen.
That he didn't know at all. That's what it means to be born again. Yeah, that's what it means to be born again.
That's right, Pastor.
You got to be born twice to go to heaven. Amen. You don't have to die once to go to hell.
That's right. That's right, Pastor White. Tell it like it is, Pastor. Tell it like it is.
Whoa. That's good stuff.
Yes, sir, it is.
He was excited. I was excited. Because he said, I'm saved. I said, I'm saved too.
Amen.
I've been baptized. Jaden wanted to get baptized.
Amen.
And them boys sit there. I'm telling you right now, I was thrilled to my soul.
Praise the Lord, Pastor.
They were excited about the Word of God. They were sitting there with them little eyes just bucking them, just following along. I was letting them read the Bible, and I just commented on it. I tell you what, preacher, I had a good old hallelujah shouting time.
Hallelujah.
It was so good to sit down at that supper table and share the Word of God and teach it. Who is to do the teaching here? Let me finish. Who's to do the teaching? The children. Notice what he says. He says in verse 2 that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God and keep his commandments. Which I command thee, and thy sons, and thy sons' sons. So the sons ought to be able to teach what? Their sons. The children were the one that were to be teach. So we need to not only learn it, live it, but lip it. So the principle here is that we ought to teach them what? The Word of God. How it applies to our lives. How it affects our lives. How important the Word of God is. The deficiency of the greatest deficiency is in learning, but most people or most folks are concerned more for their children learning the ABCs than they are the scriptures. Wow. That's homeschooling 101.
Amen.
The biggest concern is that our children ought not be ignorant of traditional things. It's what our concern is. But what about the Word of God? We ought not want them to be ignorant of that either. That ought to have the highest priority. Because that's what God has called you to do. That's what he's telling them that they do. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God in verse 5 with all thy hearts and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. In other words, you need to do it on purpose. You ought to be faithful in doing it. Because the people here, or the principle is to teach them what? The Word of God. The people are there to do the teaching was the children. And the children were to teach their children so that they would grow up with not hard hearts against the Word of God, but teaching them to love God at a young and tender age. Because the Bible says, except a man come as a child, he can never enter the kingdom of God.
Right.
You never get an understanding of it. So we need not to forsake it, but our responsibility is to teach it. And we ought to do it with passion. Diligently. This is it's more than just, brother, I don't have nothing to get past the power. It's more than just learning verses.
Amen.
But learning how the verses apply to your life.
Right,
learn how to put them into practice.
That's good.
It's what we ought to teach them. The period of teaching, when thou sittest, when thou walkest, when thou liest, and when thou risest. In other words, we need to cover everything.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Every aspect of life we need to cover. But most parents don't want to teach. Sit them in front of TV when they're little. Let them watch cartoons.
Wow.
So that way, they sit here, I can go do whatever else I want to do.
Yep. Exactly, Pastor.
Wait a minute. That ain't what God said I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
He said I need to teach them.
Right. That's right, Pastor White.
Take some time and teach them the Word of God. Don't let the television do the instructing.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Because they have no benefit. They don't care about your children. See, the devil's using that avenue today,
yeah,
just like he was in my day, and even today, to draw the children away from the things of God.
Right.
And you know, ain't nothing good on it to start with.
That's right, Pastor White.
But we'll sit them in front of the TV so they can be entertained, so that we don't have to entertain them.
Lord, help us.
So we don't have to teach them. We let the cartoons, and we let the television, let the video games, we let all of those things do the teaching.
Lord,
when God has given us the responsibility to teach our children. So that your children can teach your children or their children. So your grandchildren have an opportunity to know God.
That's right, Pastor White.
Because your children were taught by you. I look at Brother Hall and Sister Hall, and y'all heard me talking about this a couple of months ago. We got up one Sunday morning that we kept them two little ones there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had devotion with them.
Mm.
I was so excited.
Praise the Lord.
That was just good time.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And here we go again. Just opening the Word of God.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And sharing the truth with them.
That's good.
I got a blessing.
Amen.
From that time that I spent with them.
That's right, Pastor.
Because we were in the Word of God. It was so exciting. Yep. I'm going to tell y'all something why it's so important to me that I want to encourage you to do it. Because I didn't do a good job of it when I was raising my girls. Mm. It was a struggle. Because I didn't know how to do it.
Wow.
They felt like Dad was taking something and beating them with a club. Because I didn't do it with love.
That's right, Pastor White.
I didn't do it with a compassion, the way that it ought to be done. And I learned from that. And I don't want you to make the same mistake, those of you who still have opportunity to teach your children.
Amen, Pastor.
Take the time to do that.
Amen.
Because they'll value what you take time to do with them from the things of God more than they would anything else you ever do for them.
That's right, Pastor.
Because when they look back, they're going to remember. You remember when Mom and Dad used to take the Bible and we used to have Bible stories and we used to read?
Yep.
Instead of remembering how we used to watch Scooby-Doo or whatever we used to watch.
Whatever.
And those can be good things having their place.
Mm-hmm.
But what they ought to value the most is the time that we spent in the Word of God.
That's right, Pastor White.
You know, I may not did everything right, but you know what? When Sunday comes, my children know where we're going.
Yes, sir, Pastor White.
They knew where we were going to be. They didn't have a choice.
That's good, Pastor.
Now, they got a choice. They grown, they on their own. Yep. But you know what? They didn't have a choice.
That's right.
You're going to be in God's house, whether we had to drag you or whatever, kick and scream.
That's good, Pastor.
But you know what? We didn't have that problem.
That's good.
Because they already knew that's where you're going to be.
Yep.
This is what Mom and Dad do on Sunday.
Amen.
And if you're ever looking for me, you want to find me when you leave and move away, that's where I'm going to be on Sunday.
That's right.
That's where I'm going to be on Sunday morning. That's where I'm going to be on Sunday night.
Amen.
That's where I'm going to be on Wednesday night. So if you want to find me, don't call me during those times because I'm not going to answer the phone.
Amen, Pastor.
Because I'm going to be in the house of God.
Yes, sir.
And they loved it when Dad used to wash the dishes. Dad, you going to wash dishes? Yeah, I think I will. Because they said when Dad washed dishes, he liked to do that so he'd meditate and think about the things in the Word of God. Dad, go wash dishes. They encouraged me because I was doing their chores.
That's good, Pastor White.
Oh, but I did that, and that was time I'm washing. Nobody else wanted to do it.
Yeah.
You know, another place you can go and read the Word of God, the kids ought to know you're in there in the bathroom. Nobody's going to bother you.
That's right. Amen, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all get the point? Amen.
Amen.
Because you're handling business. You're washing dishes. You're handling their business.
That's right, Pastor.
So they're not going to bother you, but they ought to know that you love God so much
that
this is where I'm at. This is what I believe. This is who I love.
Amen.
And I say this to you tonight. If you're here and you don't know Christ the Savior, I'm telling you what, you're missing out on the greatest blessing that you could ever have. Amen. You can't teach them to have something that you don't have.
Amen.
You got to have the right relationship with Jesus Christ yourself. You have to ask yourself, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? You know what? He said, these commandments have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Boy, I wonder, did they know that? But you know what? You ought to know that.
That's right, Pastor.
Because he wrote these things for you so that you may know. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Exactly.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's no difference between the Jew or the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
That's the greatest truth that you ought to have in your life. And if you get a hold of that yourselves, you can teach them the importance of it. Because if you're going to heaven, you want them to be in it. I don't understand this, how a person can be saved and have family members that they don't want to see get saved.
That's good, Pastor.
Because if you got it, you ought to give it to them.
Right.
If you really got it, and if you ain't got it, you need to get it.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Amen. I think that's just good math. I don't know where that comes from. But that's just good math. Just think about it tonight. God wanted and commanded that they would teach. The compensations here is the longevity of life. But the real truth is that God wants us to learn it. He wants us to live it so that we can live it.
Amen.
You can never do that if it's in that order. You can never teach your children the importance of the thing of God, things of God, if you don't have it yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Because they were going to face some challenges in their lives. And God knew what they needed. Because prosperity has ruined our nation. As prosperity is ruining the lives of Christians, because when you get the plenty, you forget the provider. And that's what God did not want them to do. There's another area of scripture that I want to read to y'all, and I want to close. I wouldn't do this message any justice if I didn't. Turn over to 2 Kings. I know it's a little late. 2 Kings chapter 22. And one of the sad things that happened was, here was Josiah in chapter, I'm going to just kind of sum it up. Josiah here was king. In Josiah chapter 20, I mean, chapter 20, 2 Kings chapter 22, Josiah was 8 years old. The Bible says when he began to reign. And he sent one of his servants to go and check on those that were to take the monies that was needed to go that were providing for the house of God. And he goes to the house of God, and there was somebody that met him, one of the priests met him there, and said, "We found the book."
Amen.
You know what that just kind of tells me? It was almost like he was in the house of God, and he found the book, and what he's doing is, "Look what I found." Because they have gotten so far from the things of God that Josiah rented his clothes and said, "Go inquire of the Lord what it is that we need to do."
That's good, Pastor.
He rented his clothes because he realized how far they had gotten away from the word of God.
Yes, sir.
They had made all of these images and of gods that they were serving, and they weren't serving the true God.
That's right, Pastor.
And he rented his clothes because he was saddened. And you know what? God told him, because they didn't keep it, I'm going to judge this nation.
That's right,
because they failed to keep his word. You know what? God is going to judge this nation
because we have not kept his word.
It's coming. It's already begun.
Yeah, you're right, Brother Serge.
And you know what? God was so merciful to Josiah. I'm going to bury you with your fathers. But I hear what you're saying. And I see your heart. Because you repented. You tore your clothes because you realized that here you were, a king over a nation that had gotten away from God. And I'm afraid today, if you and I don't take the time and plant and establish the word of God in our young people's lives, we're going to lift them up into a generation that's going to know not God. And he's going to judge them. I'm not going to withhold it.
That's right.
Because you know what? The same God that promises salvation is promising judgment.
That's right, Pastor White.
And if he was not fair, if he would tell us one thing and do another, but he's telling us the importance of the word of God. It's your decision to make tonight.
Amen.
What are you going to do with him? And that's what Josiah was facing. And he found out what the Lord wanted from them and what he was going to do. And God had mercy on him. God have mercy on our souls tonight.
Amen.
And we don't understand the importance of the word of God and what we need in our lives, and our children need it. And we would do them an injustice if we didn't make sure that we were teaching them. And it's up to them to make the choices. It's up to them. What about you tonight? Maybe you're here tonight, you don't know Christ as Savior. I would just say to you tonight, you need to come and trust him as your Savior. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Father, thank you for tonight. God, thank you for your blessings. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I know in my feeble mind and heart and life, I do no justice to what you wanted said. But I pray tonight that something was said that stirred the heart of your people to realize the importance of the word of God. And God, I pray tonight, if there be one here that does not know Christ the Savior, God, I pray that this would be tonight, that they would make that decision for you before it's eternally too late. You can't give a child or a loved one or a neighbor or a co-worker something that you don't have yourself. And I need to be assured of my salvation before I could share it with someone else. And I pray there be no one here like that tonight. Let's all stand on our feet. head bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Maybe you're here tonight and God has spoken to your heart. The altar is open and we're going to have our pianist to play a hymn of invitation. And maybe God has spoken to your heart tonight about something that you need to do. Maybe you're here tonight, you can come and say, Pastor White, I need to be saved. I don't know Christ as my Savior. You know, we love to let someone take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. I wouldn't be worth much as a preacher of the gospel if we didn't give you the opportunity to know that you can trust the same God that was so interested in his people that he wanted them to know the importance of the Word of God. And the Bible is so clear that these things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't been instructing your children the way that you ought to. But you know, you got to start somewhere. Even Josiah knew that he needed to start. And God respected and had compassion on him, even through all that had gone on and his neglect. He realized that his parents hadn't done what this book says that we ought to be doing. And he was troubled in his spirit, in his life. And God said, I will bring upon this nation, this place, the evil because of what they've done. But they brought the king the word again of what the Lord has said. And God made him a promise that you can go to the grave in peace, and their eyes shall not see all this evil which I will bring upon this nation because of your concern and compassion for the word of God. I'm going to ask our pastor to come and close as he sees fit. Tonight, I just pray Christians are praying, and maybe God is speaking to hearts, that you would do what God would have you to do tonight.
Well, as the music continues to play, Christians are praying. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, can you honestly say in your heart, I'm a child of God, I've been born again, I know I'm on my way to heaven? And if you can say yes, then you have to ask yourself this next question: when did it happen? And have I seen a sincere change in my life since that point? Am I confident in the fact that I know I've called on the name of the Lord to be saved? Am I confident that I've repented of my sins? Am I confident that I've trusted my life with Jesus Christ and turned from sin and turned to Jesus? Is there a day? Is there a point? Is there a place that I can point to and say, that's today I gave my life to Jesus, repented of my sins, and got saved? If you can't go to a definite place, a definite time, and your life hasn't made a definite change, then it's quite possible you might not have the salvation you think you have. And maybe that's why you have doubts. Maybe that's why you second guess yourself. I don't know, but I know God wants us to know. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Would anyone be bold enough to say, preacher, pray for me? I'm not sure. If I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Please pray for me tonight. I won't call you out. I won't pick you out. I do want to pray for you. Just a lifted up hand. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure.